right. Acts chapter 9. It was interesting at the Bible conference. I got to talk about rightly dividing the word with Jack Lockhart. And we got into kind of a heated discussion. Of course, maybe he'll realize I'm right now. No, it was not a bad discussion. It was actually a good discussion. But we were at the restaurant, and I realized all my guys were wimps. Because right when the heat of the battle, right when I needed them, they all left me. I mean, I thought Carlton, if anybody was going to stick with me, Carlton would stick with me. I looked to my right and I looked to my left. Everybody's gone but Larry, who originally started this church. And that's why I've stuck with Larry instead of all the others.
Wait a minute, I furnished the sword.
And then left. Here, take the sword and I'm leaving.
I didn't even know you were there.
Yeah, you weren't even there for the play game. I mean, you know, everybody, I'm tired. I'm like, there are preachers out there in battle and his sword's being swung at them. And,
you know, Jack had a fork.
Yeah, he had a fork and a knife. It was pretty wild there for a minute. There was no bloodshed that we know of. He did kick me twice under the table, and I thought that was rude. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But the discussion came up about the gospel of the grace of God. Well, I believe that Paul probably got saved in Acts chapter 9. Probably did. But it's not obvious to me until Acts 13 that he preaches the gospel. And so his argument was, well, you got saved, what would you go and tell people? Well, I would tell them whatever Jesus Christ wanted me to tell them, whether it was my salvation or not. And the point that I'm making with this is that it's obvious that he preached the gospel of God. And the gospel of God is a foundational gospel to the whole thing. And the reason I'm telling you this is he's going to people that would have heard a different gospel. And my argument is why would Paul try to persuade them into another gospel, right, when they could fellowship on the gospel of God? And it's apparent to me that at least in the public vision of it all, he preached the gospel of God. Now, what is the gospel of God? That Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Now, how was that proved?
Resurrection.
By the resurrection. It proved by the resurrection, and I'm going to try to get into that. But I want you to see in Acts chapter 9. Go to Acts chapter 9. And he got to preach after me, so he got to jab me a couple times from the pulpit, which is fine. But I'm going to do a whole tape on it. And I can record it and put it on the internet. You believe what God's Word says. Don't believe me. Don't believe Brother Jack. But the reason I'm saying this is not to argue with Brother Jack is, you know, I'm okay with what he said. I'm just saying it's not obvious in the Scriptures that what he said was true. You understand what I'm saying? You can assume it because of your salvation, but Paul's salvation is a little bit unique. Amen? I mean, I didn't see a brighter than noonday sun. You know, it wasn't the same as mine. And I wasn't knocked down. I always think of Chimichanga, you know, I get knocked down, I get up again. You know, every time I think about Paul, you know, and maybe we can incorporate that soundtrack when I'm, maybe not. Anyway, I want to go to verse 18. Well, start in verse 15, just not that far away. But the Lord had said unto him, go thy way, for he, that is Paul, who's Saul at the time, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Before the Gentiles, the king, and the children of Israel. And I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hand on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell upon his, there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he received me, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue. Now, he wouldn't have gone in where, you got to remember, who was there?
Jews.
And just start preaching that Christ died for your sins. He'd had to prove the foundation first, that Christ is the Son of God. You all understand? Before you start preaching. Well, look what he says. But all that heard him were amazed. And this is the verse that stands out in my mind. There's two verses here that stand out in my mind. This is one of them. Is this not he that destroyed them which called upon this name in Jerusalem? And came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest. And Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. You see this? This is very Christ. Well, now, if you're going to prove that Jesus Christ is Christ, what would you preach? Yeah, that he's the Son by the resurrection. And what was important is he said this is the person that destroyed them that called upon this person's name before. So he's preaching to some of the people that had heard Peter's message that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What did Peter say? Go back to Acts chapter 2. And the point that I'm making with this is very, very important. And listen, Brother Jack and I are a great fellowship. We love each other. There was no hard feelings other than, you know, him kicking me in the shins a couple times. There's no hard feelings because we love each other in the Lord. And we just kind of calm down, you know. But the point that I want you to see is that Paul, just because he starts out preaching, doesn't apparently preach the gospel of Christ. It is not apparent that he does that. In fact, it's apparent that he's preaching to some people that would have known the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of God. And it's almost as if he's being respectful of that. Acts chapter 2. You men of Israel, hear these words. See that? Well, what is it? Well, verse 23. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath... There it is. That's the gospel of God. Having loosed the pains of death, and that's the whole thing of resurrection, guys. Because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaking concerning himself, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is, notice that, he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. And so he preaches this to him. Look down in verse 36. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made the same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and... How did he do that? By resurrection. He preaches the death, burial, and resurrection from 22 all the way down. You got it? It's the gospel of God. Now go back to Acts chapter 9. Verse 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto him. Who did he take him to? Who's the apostles? Peter, Andrew, Bartholomew, right? You want to put Acts chapter, Matthew chapter 10, verse 2 and 3 and 4. Those are the names of the apostles. Right. Matthew 10, 2, 3, and 4. Write that in your Bible. That's who he went. Took him to the apostles, and underline apostles, that's who he went to see, and declare on them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he was spoken to him, and that how he preached boldly at Damascus. Well, what did he preach boldly in Damascus? That he is the very Christ. He didn't preach that he died for their sins. There's no obviousness to that. Well, Jack's argument was, well, after you got saved, wouldn't you go and tell somebody? Yeah, but who he's first talking to is Peter's people. Why would he take the gospel of Christ to Peter's group? But he could take the gospel of God to that group, wouldn't he? And they would realize that he was called to be a minister based upon the fact of the gospel of God. Does that make sense? So that gospel of God is the intent that allows Peter and Paul to have fellowship. Y'all with me? That's very important. And say, well, why would you get something? Well, I believe in Acts chapter 14 when he's left for dead and he goes up supposedly to the third heaven or whatever happens at that event, he got words that were what?
Unspeakable. Unlawful.
Well, they were speakable later. Say you can't get a message and then not be able to say anything until it's the right time? God can do that. Could he have given Paul the gospel of God and said, just go prove to these people that I'm the Christ? And then later start preaching that gospel that I gave you. He can do that. Why? He did it here. There's precedence in the scriptures that he actually did that. Y'all with me? There's precedence that would be true. Okay? Not everything you get from the Lord. And by the way, you preachers out there that listen to me and then try to go preach these messages, best to make sure you believe it before you start preaching it.
Amen.
Well, Barry said it is true. That's probably right about 99.9% of the time. But just in case I'm wrong, y'all understand? I mean, I can handle the denominational system with half my brain tied behind my back. I can handle them. But you got to know your faith. One time, Brian Palmer, a friend of mine, preached. He's done some great thing. Brian Palmer said, I want to know everything you know. And I said, well, Brian, that's an impossibility. We've taken two different paths to get here, and what we got when we got here are different. I said, the best thing you can do is not try to lean on my faith, but have your own faith.
That's right.
You see, guys, you don't have to believe this. I mean, there's things that Larry and I may disagree on, or Terry and I, or Stan and I, and that's okay. I mean, just like if Jack and I, we're not going to break fellowship over this kind of stuff. Y'all understand?
Amen.
This is not the stuff to break the fellowship over. This is stuff to drive you into the Word of God to make you think and consider. That's all. People get all bent out of shape. Say, well, those preachers, I mean, we got a crowd. It was like, here, the two champions are in the thing, and there was a ring around us, except my ring leaves. I'm like, yeah, here, take my sword. I'm leaving. I'm tired. I hope you don't die. Yeah, that's because you're rested up and probably feel good. Acts chapter.
Early to bed, early to rise.
We love Jack and the Lord like you won't believe. He teaches my sister up in Memphis, and we love him greatly. So anything I'm saying, I hope everybody. What? Yeah. Barry preached on you. Yeah, you ought to watch the videotape a couple times. No, I'm just kidding. I'm playing. You know, some people, Brenda says, you know, I don't explain my jokes very well, but you guys that know me know I'm joking.
Right.
And you know when I'm serious about the Word of God. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just remember that.
Just relax.
Thank you. Couldn't have said that better myself. Yeah. Well, you know, people are watching and they don't quite get it, but, you know, listen, steel sharpens steel. If you never have, listen, if you never challenge what you believe to be true, how do you really know it's true? Say, well, we're the best football team. Well, let's wait and see. Yeah, Miami thought they were like, look at them. Ball State nearly tears up Auburn. You know, I mean, come on. You don't know that you're the team until you go through the fire. You know what I mean? And you don't know that what you will be able to stand on will hold up in an argument until you get in that argument. I mean, Larry said sometimes he'd start talking to people and they thought, they brought up a point I never even thought of. Good. Makes you go home and study. See, that's what it's all about. It's a provocation to study. I was preaching on the resurrection, and Michelle and Scott watch us on the internet. She's all confused about soul sleep. But she said one of the things that she did was it drove her back to the book to try to study. Right. Successful preaching. Right. Hey, my job isn't to tell you what to believe. My job is to preach what I believe and let you challenge to see if it's what you believe by the Word of God. Acts 9. And Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them. Who's the them? The apostles. How that he had seen the Lord in the way and that he was spoken to him and how he preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Now hold on. If he preached the gospel of Christ to them, then Galatians chapter 2 would not have been necessary. Go to Galatians chapter 2. My point is, I believe he preached the gospel of God just like he preached the gospel of Christ. But he waited on preaching the gospel of Christ until about Acts chapter 13. Could he have told somebody? Yeah. But it's not apparent in the Word of God that he told anyone. You got the mic up, son.
Really, really, Romans chapter 1, if you just consider Romans chapter 1, it kind of lays out what Paul did first. And then
yes, I think he does. We're going to do Romans chapter 1. Just the fact that he was separated under the gospel of God, and then he preaches the gospel of Christ in verse 16.
Exactly.
I think that's similar to how I see this thing.
Yeah.
But Galatians chapter 2, remember that he went into the apostles, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, my problem, and this kind of stopped the argument right here. Say, did I win? I don't know. Who wins? We're trying the Word of God and trying to get it right. You know what? I don't care about winning. I care about getting it right. That's what I'm interested in. You all understand? It's not about winning an argument. It's about getting it down. Why? Hey, if you're right and I'm wrong, I want to be like you are. Right? I mean, the one thing you have to have is an open mind when dealing with Scriptures. And sometimes as preachers, especially when we get alone and we don't fellowship a lot with a lot of, you know, other preachers, we never really try anything off of them. You know why? We want to remain friends. Right? You know, you don't want to create an argument, but you need a little bit of challenge. And it's really good for us. But look in Galatians chapter 2. Y'all there? Verse 6. But of these who seem to be somewhat, and I would recommend that that's the 12, are certainly, as we'll put them, the apostles. Whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. Now, this is 14. Now, think about this. From verse 27 this is 14 years later. You got it? Now, if he was out there preaching the gospel of Christ, wouldn't they have heard of it? Now watch this. But of these who seem to be somewhat, I mean, he visited them in Jerusalem. right? Verse 27. Those who seem to be somewhat, now this is 14 years later. Whatsoever they were maketh no matter to me, God accepted no man's person. For they, now watch this, for they who seem to be somewhat in conference added what? So the 12 gave what to Paul? A big goose egg, nothing. But watch this next wording. But contrarywise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, well, if they'd seen it back in 27, they wouldn't be seeing it for the first time. Hello? Y'all understand? Well, I see it. Well, why didn't you see it 14 years ago? He preached to them, right? What he was preaching in Damascus. He was preaching what he was preaching at Damascus to the apostles. That's what it said. Well, he must not have been preaching the gospel of Christ. Because 14 years is the first time that these guys see it. But contrarywise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto people. Sounds like two different gospels. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was in mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, now, those aren't the 12 apostles, but these are the pillars now of the church. And he said, well, the church was apostate. I'm okay with that. I believe it was. Who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me. They perceived it when? When Paul told them in Galatians chapter 2's recount of Acts chapter 27, 14 years later. Y'all with me? At that 14-year event is when they saw it. When they perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen and they unto the circumcision. Now, I believe for those first few years that Paul preached the gospel of God. And no how and no way would that distract from the gospel of Christ. You understand? But when he first went to preach, he preached to people that had already had a gospel. That were already saved. Go back to Acts chapter 9. So why would they have all of a sudden seen it in Acts, whatever, I forgot which Acts it was that he actually went back to Jerusalem. I think it was 18. But wherever it was, he'd already seen them 14 years earlier. How come they didn't get it then? Had he preached it, somebody would have said, well, I think he's preaching something else. And I think that would have caused confusion. And God, by His providence and His infinite wisdom, decided to keep it hushed until finally Israel and their gospel basically came to an end. Y'all with me? And then He allowed Paul. Why? He wouldn't let somebody preach on someone else's foundation. Yeah, God's not the author of confusion. I think that would be confusion. Especially when he's talking to all these people that were, quote, being chased down by Paul for believing on Jesus. They were scared to death. Ananias said, Lord, this is the guy that goes in every city and he pulls us out and stones us dead. He leaves us out. Everybody that calls upon your name, this guy's brought in. I don't want to go. And he says, well, you know, he would have told them that I was a blasphemer, that I did wrong. Yeah, but they would have perceived it. But it's not obvious they perceived it until 14 years after the fact. Go back to Acts chapter 9 and look at again in verse 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. and believe not that he was a disciple. So what would you want to prove to these people that you were a believer like they were?
That Jesus Christ was the Son of God.
That would be the place you'd fellowship. Can you imagine coming out and saying, well, I believe Christ died for my sins? What? Yeah, Christ died for your sins. We ain't ever heard that. Peter didn't tell us that. John didn't tell us that. They would have stoned him. And so my argument was, you know, was he saved here? I believe Paul got saved on the road to Damascus. Did he get words that he couldn't quite speak yet? Possible. Because he doesn't speak it until the 13th in Scripture. Now, if he was speaking it all along, don't you think the Scripture should announce it? You know. And then why would the Scripture in Acts chapter 14 give him unspeakable words and wait him until he's in prison so he can speak those words? I mean, that's a precedent. You've got that in Scripture. Say, well, that couldn't happen back here? Well, I think it did happen. Jack Dutton. It doesn't matter. I'm not doing this to divide Jack and I. I'm trying to get you to think. Because you may be hit with this. I don't know what it is you believe about that. Dale, I have no idea what you believe. But you've got to get your beliefs down in you and know what it is you believe. You know, Bill and Mary said, well, what are you preaching on this morning? And I told them, I don't study for a message. I study for me. To wash my wife and me with the Word. That's why I study. I preach to you what I know. You all understand? Or what I believe I know. And they can be two different things. I understand that. But if you wanted me to preach on baptism, I could. I know what it is I believe about it. I know what it is I absolutely believe about baptism. And I can preach it. You want me to preach on justification? I can preach on justification. I know exactly what I believe. I don't have to prepare a sermon. I'm not going to try. You know, when you prepare a sermon, what you're trying to do is impress people. Well, let me tell you what I've studied in God's Word. I don't do it. This is what I believe about this. So I don't believe like you. I'm not asking you to believe like me. I'm asking you to believe the Word of God. I don't believe in soul sleep. That's okay. Then just tell me what happens. Say, well, they're asleep. I asked Jack that. He said, me and Jerry Sanders are the only two that believe this, but we believe they're asleep in heaven. I said, okay. I'm okay. See, guys, you don't have to believe what I believe. What you have to believe is the Word of God. All I can preach is what I do believe in my heart to be true. You all understand? And there is no perfect guy that's got it all except Brother Moore, and he's old. We had him at one time. He walked amongst us. He was literally human at one time. These people were afraid of him. Why? Acts chapter 8, this is why. Verse 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death, and at the time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. What church? The Sadducees and the Pharisees' church? No, it was that New Testament church, right? Peter and the 12, the little flock, the new nation. A great persecution against the church which was in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Who would he have seen then in Jerusalem when he went? The apostles. Where was everybody else? Scattered abroad. Well, if you compare Acts chapter 9, verse 27 then, The Galatians chapter 2, only one of those things can be true. They either saw it when he went the first time and heard the gospel of Christ, or they heard the gospel of God and later was revealed the gospel that he preached among the Gentiles. You all understand? It can't be either. It's either or. It's not the same. And so my point was, I tend to think that he tried to fellowship with them where God wanted them to fellowship. And that is on the gospel of God. Go to Romans chapter 1. So, you know, just because we're all grace believers doesn't mean that we all believe exactly alike. The challenge here is to speak all the same thing. Amen?
Amen.
But you know, the goal is to try the scriptures. Check them out for yourself. Get a little study habit going. Amen? Now, chapter 1, and he told me not to preach this to him. Why? Listen to what it says. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the
gospel of God.
Well, I believe he was separated unto the gospel of God right here in Acts chapter 9, and he preaches that gospel up until 13. Did he know the other gospel? Did he maybe tell somebody? Possible. But he didn't do it publicly. Why? He was meeting with those that had already had a foundation laid down through Peter's ministry. There was no need. Y'all with me? Jim, if I lost you, you look bored. You got all this stuff down already. Okay. Now, I'm going to read down to verse 4, all the way through verse 4 in Romans 1. Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, and I would say that's definitely Acts chapter 9, which he was promised before by his prophets and in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, everybody, by the resurrection from the dead. That's the gospel of God. I believe he was separated on that gospel. Even though he preached that same gospel, he was pulled aside because he was going to preach a different gospel. Look in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Verse 15. So, as much as in me is, I think I've been healed. I can see again. I don't need my glasses. Look. I'm done. Yeah. Thank you. Say hi to the camera. So, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Go to Acts chapter 13. This is the first time it is apparent in Scripture that he preached it. He said, even though I didn't say it, don't you believe he said it? I don't. No. Could he have? Absolutely. I have no idea. What do I know? Publicly, he didn't preach anything but the gospel of God. Could he have been telling everybody that he was saved? Mm-hmm. Yes. Wouldn't you tell everybody you got saved? Good. Yeah. But if God told you not to preach it to them, to preach it separated on the gospel of God, don't you think you'd do that first? And so he did. But this is the first time. Look in Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Now there was in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simon, that is called Niger, and Lucas the Cyrene, and the Mandanian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me and Barnabas for the work whereunto I have called them. Now, I believe that is the dispensational change where he's not fooling with their ministry of Jerusalem and all that. He is now starting his own ministry, preaching what?
The gospel of Christ.
The gospel of Christ. Right there. God made a dispensational change in Acts chapter 13 when he says, I'm going to separate you. And now this isn't onto the gospel of God. This is separated onto the gospel of Christ. Now that's what I believe. Say, well, you're wrong. Hey, I've been wrong before. Just ask my mother-in-law.
He was separated unto something.
Absolutely. He'd already been separated on the gospel of God.
That's right.
But now he's got a unique ministry starting up. Verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said to separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work. That work is the work for the body of Christ. Not the work of fellowshipping with Peter and proving that Jesus is the Christ. He's going on to build a body now. The mission that he's got. I believe that's where that dispensationally took place. Amen. Tell me, are you having a good time?
Amen.
You learning anything? You see, when this starts happening, they didn't even, they laid hands on and they went. Watch. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said unto, it said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. Powerful. And I believe that's the start of Paul's ministry. So what was he doing before? I believe he was laying the foundation so that what he would preach later would not confuse those that were already saved. Or already a believer. Y'all understand? That foundation was important to lay out. Could he have done that without preaching the gospel of Christ? Can you preach the gospel of Christ without preaching that?
No.
So it's apparent to me because of Galatians chapter 2 and Acts chapter 2, 9, verse 27, those comparisons that they didn't see it until 14 years later. And it was the gospel that he preached here that he had to communicate. What was the gospel that he preached here? Look in verse 38. Well, I'm going to start in verse 36. For David, after that he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep. And that just keeps coming up, that sleep stuff. And was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he, whom God raised again, saw no what?
Corruption.
Well, who's the he that he raised?
Jesus Christ.
What does that prove? That he's the Son of God. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the first time in your Bible. You need to underline that. That's it. Right there. That's the first time it's mentioned. And by him all that believe are justified from how many things? All things. Which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. There's things that you could not be an adulterer and be justified. If you went to the priest and said, I'm an adulterer, guess what they would do, Dale? Take you out the city and stone you. Carlton, what happens if you were an idolater? So walk up to the priest, I'm an idolater. They would take you out of the courts and the priest would start throwing stones at you. Y'all get it? But now you hear the first message that you can be justified from all things, which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Powerful. Amen? Powerful. Powerful. By him that all the believer justified from all things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. And guess who was there? Jews and Gentiles that feared God. And in the passage, they preached to the Jews first. Okay? And then to the Gentiles the next. Different message? Same message. You could be justified from all things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Turn the mic up.
And there's another underlying thing that I see out of Acts 8, where it says, and Saul was consenting unto his death, Stephen's death.
Yes.
Okay. And then if you go to James 2:10, where Peter says you offended one point guilty of all, therefore God's grace covered even all.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that is the point. He was before a blasphemer and a murderer. You know, I mean, come on. There would have been no means for him to get saved by the law.
It took the God's grace. Absolutely.
So, what am I saying? Let me sum up.
I believe Acts 13, God or the Holy Spirit separates Paul and Barnabas onto, and from that point is where you hear the gospel of Christ. And after that, 14 years, is when he shows them that he'd seen in Jerusalem before that gospel and communicates unto them that gospel. He communicated unto them that he believed in the gospel of God, so that created fellowship. Say, could he have preached the gospel of Christ back here? Yes, but it's not apparent. Yes.
That was what one of the points Jack makes is because he was a blasphemer that he could not have preached.
He doesn't say that.
What did he say?
No, he did say that, but he doesn't say that in the Bible.
Yeah, but I mean that was one of his points.
Yes. Well, that he would have to tell them about the gospel of Christ.
But they wouldn't have believed
him. Because he was a blasphemer.
Right.
But they were blasphemers too. They didn't know it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can prove Jesus Christ is the Christ with being a blasphemer.
Right.
All right. Any questions? Did y'all get anything out of that this morning?
Amen.
And again, I want to say to the internet and people that are watching, Brother Jack and I are in great fellowship. There is no problem here. At all. But I do want to challenge you to think about this. You know? We see it a little bit different. Who's right? It doesn't matter. The Word of God is right.
That's right.
Keep studying the book. Prove all things. You know, that's what the Bible says. Listen, I did the best I could at proving what I believe. I may be wrong. I'm okay with that. I want to get it right, so I'm going to keep studying the subject out. But I got to preach what I can prove or what I believe. So, any questions?